May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be for good pleasure before thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. The Christmas season happens over and over again. The Lord is continually trying to join himself with us, be born into our lives. But it must always begin with repentance on our part. Listen to how Trinitarian religion describes trying to be saved without repentance. Can anyone put sheep, kids, or lands into fields or woods teeming with all kinds of wild beasts before driving out the wild beasts? The church can no more coexist with these than anyone can live with tigers and leopards in a zoo. No more can anyone sleep in a bed made on a layer of poison plants or with pillows stuffed with them. Think of that. Trying to have Christmas without repentance is like living in a zoo with wild animals and sleeping on poison ivy. It is foolish, dangerous, and will make you sick and dead. It's not a good idea. It's a pretty harsh and somewhat entertaining description of what trying to be saved without repentance can be like. Often the word will use colorful descriptions. And in some ways, that's helpful because repentance can be such a down subject. But it is that important. Now, it is common in the world for people to say that people are born with sins of every kind and that people should repent. But the word is clear that it's not people who should repent, but individuals who should repent. And not of sin, but of particular sins. Someone who is contrite about the sin of humanity, or thinks, yes, people are evil, and so I will return to the Lord, but do not ever examine themselves for a particular evil, are described this way in true Christian religion. Hell, those people said, could no more strike fear into them than the basilisks and poison snakes can into those who are living safely in tranquility and quietly in some European city. The wrath of God had no more frightened them and made them contrite than the wrath of the king of Persia can the people of Pennsylvania. If you're not looking at your own particular sins, then evil is like some foreign king who has no power against you. But if you see it for what it truly is, a wild beast living in your bedroom, then you can see that a particular evil is pulling you away from the Lord, turning you away from the Lord. And this will happen again and again. As we commit ourselves to good and true, evil in the hells will stir up our natural inclination towards all sorts of evils. And they will find one, the weakest link in us, and use that to ruin Christmas. Not just December 25th, but the Lord's ability to enter into our lives and conjoin with us. It's why the Lord is calling for us to repent. Why he came to Zacharias. And why he sent John the Baptist. Now, repentance has four simple steps. And it's very easy to remember if you just remember these four steps. Confess sin. Pray humbly for help from the Lord. Stop. Desist. Don't do it anymore. And then live anew. That's the purpose of repentance. Often, we think of repentance as merely looking at ourselves and thinking how terrible I am, and then asking the Lord for help. And that is the beginning of repentance. But the two most important parts of repentance are stopping and then living a good life, going and doing all the good that is within you from the Lord. Now, what is a life like that has repented? True Christian religion describes it like a field that had thistles, briars, and weeds uprooted, and the land tilled and ready as good soil. Or as a plant, a good plant that has grown up in polluted soil, pulled up and grafted onto a new vine or a new tree, where it bears good fruit. That's what the Lord's asking us to do. Till our field. Bear good fruit with the Lord. If we don't examine ourselves, if we think that we can just skip steps 1 through 3, if we don't think we have to confess, pray, and desist, then the good works we do are like beautifully colored paneling, but with the windows left open so that owls and ill-omened birds of the night fly inside and ruin it. We have a wonderful opportunity every Christmas to have a beautiful field, to have a wonderful life, to have decorations covering our walls. But we need to close the windows. We need to shut out evil. Don't worry about the evil of the world. Just worry about one. And then you can pray humbly to the Lord for help. Stop doing it, and the Lord will give us a new life. In the full quote from Malachi, it says, "Who may sustain the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he is seen? For he is as a refiner's fire and a washer's soap. And he shall sit as one refining and cleaning silver. He shall clean the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, that they may present gifts in justice to the Lord. Then shall the gift of offering of Judah and Jerusalem be agreeable to the Lord, as in the days of eternity and as in ancient years." Christmas is wonderful in that it's a season of giving. But any gifts we give, any charity that we live, any good that we do, needs to be refined and cleaned so that the gifts we give may be agreeable to the Lord. Before the coming of the Lord, John the Baptist was from a long line of prophets ignored by the children of Israel, recorded but not followed. And they all had one simple message. The sacrifices that you are offering to Yahuwah are empty because of the evil that you do. As one prophet described it, "You sit up late at night plotting your evil, only to awake in the morning and offer false sacrifices to your God." That's what a life of charity without repentance is like. So instead, wake up early, reflect on your sin, and repent so that you may live a new life. "Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, how shall we return? And the Lord has sent us John." Amen. And now to the one God of heaven and earth, be glory and dominion forever and ever.